God bless you for coming and being with us today, and I'm just excited about what God has got to say and what I want to hear. I don't want to just hear it and say, wow, that was great, and go home and forget all about it. I want the Word of God to be permanently burned into my spirit, amen, so that I am a transformed individual, and my life is an expression of God's heart. I'm not acting like a Christian. I have been transformed into a Christ-like being, amen, like my master, like him, and I reflect that image in the earth. And so God is in the transforming business. Religion is in the you have to do it business. You have to perform business. You have to work harder. You have to do this. You have to do that. When we're born of him, when Christ is in you and his will and his desire is working in your life, you want to serve. You want to bless. You want to give. It's not like I have to do this. It's like I get to do this now. That's when you know God's working in your life. It's when his will becomes your desire. Amen. Delight yourself in the Lord and he'll give you the desires of your heart. And you'll discover that really the deepest desire of your heart is your purpose. And your purpose is only found in God. You can't find it any other place except in your Creator. He created us with purpose, didn't he? So you want to know what your purpose is? You got to know the heart of the one who created you. His purpose is superior to our idea of what is important. Sometimes we have idols in our hearts that are things that we think are more important than what God has told us to do. And those idols always forsake you. They always leave you empty, you know. But only Jesus can satisfy that the deepest longings of your heart. And God wants you to seek him. You know, sometimes we live in a microwave society and we just want to go through the drive-through Jesus window, you know, and get a little snack. And then we try to live off that. Well, we need to daily feed, amen, on the Lord. He's with us. And he's given us access 24/7. You've heard the expression, the sky is the limit. You know, I mean, with the Lord, it's like there's so much. What's behind door number one? I don't know, but I've discovered door number two. But what about door number three? Oh, there's another door over there I didn't know about. God has so much that we haven't even tapped into yet. And blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. He is our righteousness. Who pursue him, seek the Lord, and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened unto you. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Isn't that amazing? God wants to share his glory with us. John 17, read it. He says in there, it's the Father's pleasure to share his glory with us. Man, we're not here to glorify ourselves, but as we glorify him, the Lord will glorify us. That's how it works. He's a good, good father. He gives good gifts to his children, doesn't he? The best gift of all is his presence. Hallelujah. And you know, in the New Testament, the people, they took note of Peter and John because they had been with Jesus, right? People knew there was something different about the disciples because they had been with Jesus. And when you and I are with Jesus, abiding in Jesus, continuing with Jesus, people will know there's something different about us. Amen. There will be fruit. There will be evidence because we have been with Jesus. We reflect his image as we abide in him, continue in him. But the opposite is also true. If you haven't been with Jesus, or maybe for a while and you've been kind of drifting away, that also becomes obvious. And there's another part of us, that ugly part that we don't even like, that likes to surface up, you know, surface its head. It's the old man, the old nature, you know. And so we've got to stay with, continue with, or abide in, as Jesus said, him. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. We can accomplish zero. And so in his presence, though, there is this pleasure of knowing him, the joy of his fellowship, There is the peace of God that passes all understanding. There's this perfect love where there's no torment of fear. You know, we're complete in Him. And so Jesus gives us access. He invites us to come and to dine at His table and to be filled with Him. And only in that place do we find true satisfaction, because it's in that place of fellowship with the Lord in the Spirit that we discover His will for our lives. And how tragic it would be for us to live our lives and really never know why we were here. Never really have understood the importance of the will of God and the purpose for which God created us and placed us here. How tragic it would be to see Jesus in that day and to think that all my life I just kind of lived for myself, did my own thing, did it my way. When Jesus gave Himself for us, He shed His blood on that cross for us to purchase us, to buy us basically off the slave block, amen, to bring us into His kingdom, to be citizens of heaven, to be called by His name. But He didn't just save us, amen, so we can say, well, I'm one of these days I'm going to check out, I'm going to go to heaven. He saved us so that we could be His expression in the earth. We are called to ambassadorship, to represent the will and purpose of the One who called us. Jesus wants you and I to be blessed. Now, if you talk about blessings all the time, people will show up. People come to church in those bless me clubs, you know. It's all about being blessed. Well, God does desire to bless His people. You know, just like you and I desire to bless people we love. We desire to bless our children, don't we? If you're a good parent, you do. And basically, a simple meaning of that word blessed is to be made happy by God. To be made happy by God. Now, you and I both know what it's like trying to find fulfillment, happiness, basically heaven in the earth. Man, this was heaven. This was paradise. And the next morning you're vomiting and you're sick, or, you know, it's, you know, how the world, it offers you things that you indulge in. And at the moment it seems glorious. It seems heavenly, but then it leaves you empty. And you're never fulfilled by it. And so you're always trying to get that again, to reach that peak, to get that goal, whatever it is. Maybe it's the goals that you set for yourself. Some people, it's finances. They set financial goals and they get to that goal finally and they're like, great, now what? Well, I'll set another goal. I'll set a higher goal. And some people live their entire life just pursuing wealth, temporary things. And someday they're going to check out, and guess what? The Bible says every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess Jesus Christ is Lord. We're having our day in court. Yes, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. The Bible says that in Christ you and I have become a royal priesthood. And a royal priesthood who is called to bless people, to bless people. The message of the gospel is to declare the way to fellowship with God through the blood of Christ. It's the only way to have fellowship with God is through the blood of Christ. The only way to be restored to fellowship with God is through the blood of Christ. Jesus said it, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There is no other way to the Father but by me. And so, in order for us to be a blessing and to be able to bless people, we must first be blessed. God blesses us not so that we can impress people with how blessed we are. Look how blessed I am. But God blesses us so we can be what? A blessing. We all know that. So it's not enough for me to come here and receive something from God today, but then just spend it all on me. And keep it all to myself. If God gives you a revelation, drop something in your spirit today. You know, it's not just for you. Did you know that? It's for somebody else too. When you are to share your bread, Share your bread with your brothers and sisters. Amen. Share your bread with those who are hungry, those who want the truth. And they're there. There is some low-hanging fruit in the world. Amen. There's some people that are just ripe. They're ready. And we need to say, Lord, direct me to them or direct them to me. But in order to receive God's blessing, we've got to be in position to be blessed by God. And this requires humbling ourselves. And it requires also cooperating with God. So the title of today's message is Chosen to Be a Blessing. That word cooperate means to work or act together for a common purpose or benefit. To work or act with others willingly and agreeably. Cooperate means to work or act together for a common purpose or benefit. To work or act with others willingly and agreeably. Marriages are healthy when you are walking together agreeably. Amen? And willingly. Some people, I got to put up with the old lady. You know, no, it's like, hey, God put us together. Let's do life together. Let's enjoy. Let's enjoy one another's company, right? A marriage works when there is a mutual agreement. Can two walk together unless they be agreed? No. So there has to be mutual agreement. There has to be agreeability, you know, and a willingness by both parties to walk, to find that sweet spot. How many know what I'm talking about? When you met your husband and your wife, you know, there was something that drew you together. And there was those times when you had those experiences together that you were just in a sweet spot, you know what I'm saying, with each other, where it was just like everything was working out. It's like, man, I'm really enjoying you, you know? And you would hope the feeling was mutual. But in a marriage that is healthy, it is an agreement. It is a sacrifice at times. It means that I have to deny myself sometimes what I want so that I can please my wife. And it works both ways. Ladies, sometimes you have to compromise, amen, and you have to find that sweet spot where you're in agreement. How many have been married more than 20, 30 years here? Yeah. You've been married a while. You begin to realize that there are certain things you say and certain things you don't say. There are certain ways you handle things and other ways that you avoid. Amen. Because you begin to discover what pleases your spouse. But if we're selfish and if we make the relationship just about us, then we are inconsiderate and we don't care about how my actions affect my spouse. Likewise, in our relationship with the Lord, when our relationship with the Lord is healthy, there is agreeability, there is a cooperation in that relationship where I'm looking for ways to please the Lord. Amen? And when I don't, I know it because the Lord is grieved. I grieve the Spirit of God, and it's like, okay, I don't want to do that again. I don't want to go there. Amen? Because life is good when your relationship with God is good. And so that's what God calls us to a covenant, an agreement. And it was sealed in His blood to be cooperative with Him. And as we cooperate with God, then we believe Him and we obey His voice. Now remember the patriarch Abraham. He was known as the father of faith. And he was blessed by God in order to be what? A blessing. He said, I'm going to bless you, right? In Genesis 12 and verse 2. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. So first God was going to bless him, and then he was going to be a blessing. So in verse 3, he says, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. How many know that that still holds true today? That those promises that God made to Abraham are still in effect? So if you bless The Jewish people, amen, you'll be blessed. If you curse them, you'll be cursed. And in you, he said, in you, in Abraham, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Now understand that God called Abraham in a time when everybody was doing their own thing, and this was prior to the law of Moses. So this guy's just kind of doing life, man, the best he could. He knew how. And God just interrupts and intervenes in his life. And he calls him. He says, I'm going to bless you. I'm calling you and I'm going to bless you and I'm going to make you a blessing. And in you, all the peoples of the earth shall be blessed. So the purpose of that calling and for the nation of Israel is to be a conduit or to be a dispenser of God's goodness, God's glory. You understand? That's why they were called to represent Him, to learn of Him, to know His ways, and to model or exhibit what God is like to the nations around them that didn't know God. For what purpose? So that they also could come to know the Lord. But what happened, unfortunately, is it became an exclusive club. We four and no more. Instead of being a vessel that God would flow through and bless the nations surrounding, they became selfish and self-centered, and they just took the blessing upon themselves, and they despised those around them. Now I want you to fast forward to today in the new covenant. We, as well as Abraham of old, are justified the same way. And that is by believing God. Through faith in God, Abraham was justified prior to the law. He was the father of the faithful. And so we, as we come into covenant with Christ, He takes the Jew and the Gentile and brings them together and makes them one new man. And together, we are to be an expression of God in the earth. He blesses His church, His body, for what reason? So that we can bless those around us. But unfortunately, we fall into the same trap that Israel of old did. And that is, we just become the Bless Me Club. I just come to be blessed. But God has called us not to just be blessed, but to be blessed for the purpose of being a blessing in the earth. And in that you will find your satisfaction. Your fulfillment will be found in the will of God for you, which is to represent Him as an ambassador in the earth realm. So we have to come into cooperation. And when He called Abraham, he was talking about something far greater than just financial security, amen? And toys and blessings and having lots of food and cattle and all the things that he was blessed with. God did bless him financially. But the blessing, the ultimate blessing, was much greater, amen, than just the earthly things that he would inherit. He was talking about salvation would come to the nations through Abraham and his seed. That seed was Christ. Through the line of Abraham, Jesus Christ was born. Amen? And through that seed, through Christ, God would bring together the Jew and the Gentile in Christ and make them one new man. And they together would be an expression of God's heart. And the people around us should be seeing what God is really like by the way that we example it before them. And unfortunately, over and over throughout history, Israel had failed to do that. They got into idolatry. They started practicing the customs of the nations around them. They started intermarrying and worshiping other gods. And so God was grieved in His spirit over and over because they would not remain faithful to Him. And so the time came when the Messiah, Jesus Christ, came, the seed of Abraham, and He came to take the place of you and I, lost sinners, lost humanity, to pay the price that we deserve to pay because we rebelled against God, that we might receive mercy through His offering and forgiveness and a place in the kingdom of God, and to be raised up as salt and light in this world. He's talking about the blessedness of being God's own special people, His chosen ones. So this blessing has been extended to you and I. And He said in verse 3, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you, listen, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Have you ever noticed that wherever the Jews go today, they prosper? They have a knack. They know how to make money. And they can be a blessing to society. Unfortunately, people get jealous of the Jews. And they hate them sometimes just out of jealousy. And sometimes it's their attitudes. Because it's become in a lot of ways an exclusive club. Well, we're God's chosen people. Well, God's desire was not that you would contain the blessing, but that you would give the blessing out. Amen? And extend that to others around you. And the same thing is true today. You know, I think sometimes we're focusing more on being blessed than being a blessing. And how many know that your life will become stale, it'll become stagnant when you're not being a blessing? You can come to church and you can get blessed, but remember Paul himself said, I have not received the grace of God in vain. He received lots of grace, but he said, I didn't receive it in vain. In other words, it's possible for us to receive God's grace, but yet in vain, because we are not using what He's given us. We're not putting it to practice. God's desire was to dispense His blessings through His chosen people to all the nations that didn't know Him. And in Galatians 3:16, it says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to your seed, who is Christ. And so these same blessings come upon us who are in covenant with Jesus Christ. So in Ephesians 2:13 says this, but now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from two, thus making peace. That means both coming into Christ. And that He might reconcile both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. Now, let me read it to you from the New Living Translation, if you can just pay attention, unless you have this. Ephesians 2:13, but now you have been united with Christ Jesus. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to Him through the blood of Christ. For Christ Himself has brought peace to us. He united Jews and Gentiles into one people when, in His own body on the cross, He broke down the wall of hostility that separated us. And He did this by ending the system of law with its commandments and regulations. He made peace between Jews and Gentiles by creating in Himself one new people from two groups. But He is a Jew. In Romans 2:29 it says this, but He is a Jew who is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter. Whose praise is not from men, but from God. Now to the church, Peter said this, 1 Peter 2, verse 9. But you, everybody say you, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. Folks, these are the titles that were given to Israel. But in Christ, He says you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people. For what reason? That you might proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So the true Jew is one inwardly in the Spirit. Amen? Circumcision, that means we've been sanctified, set apart for God. In Christ, we become His chosen people. In Matthew 25, in verse 24, really speaking about a certain individual who received blessings from God, he received grace from God, but he kept it to himself. It says, the one who received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown, and gathering where you have not gathered scattered seed. And I was afraid, and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. Now understand that a talent was a sum of money. And it speaks really of the impartation of God's Spirit and His giftings in your life. In verse 26, but His Lord answered and said to Him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered. See, what did God tell us to do? He says, you go and bear fruit. He says, you go and you gather, you scatter seed. You go and you trade with what I've invested in you. Bring an increase. Don't just keep it for yourself like this man. In verse 27, he says, so you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him, the one who did what? Was afraid and buried the talent, and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given. Isn't that what Jesus said? Give and it shall be given unto you. For everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. Everyone has been called and separated to be God's own special people, a royal priesthood, amen? A holy nation to represent him who called us out of darkness, brought us into the light, so we can now be his heart, his expression in the earth, to go and bear fruit, amen, and glorify the Father. And not only are we to be blessed, so we can be blessed, but we take what we have received and we share that bread with others. We pass the blessing on. And whatever you give away, you will not lose. That carnal nature, that other part of us says, oh, I don't want to give because I'll lose. With God, you never lose what you give away. But what you hold on to or try to hoard, that you will lose. If God is telling you to give, if God is telling you to bless, if God is calling you to pray for somebody, if God is telling you to witness to somebody, then you need to listen, because God wants to bless you. Not only does He want to bless you, but He wants to increase the blessing in your life. And if you're faithful with little, He will make you ruler of. Thank you, Lord. You know, Bruce mentioned something on the, my brother, my biological brother is here. He's back there. Our dad once said something, and he mentioned this just over the weekend. I was like, wow, that's pretty good. And you know, it's something that I've actually watched my dad do. He said, do something for someone else every single day. Do something for someone else every single day. That's the heart of Jesus. It's to do for others. It's to serve others. I didn't come to be served, but to serve. He was sowing in this world for eternity. What you sow, you will reap. As you sow in the Holy Spirit, and continue to sow in the Holy Spirit, eventually what you have invested will come back to you. That's God's promise. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Now, I know a lot of preachers, they just use that to get people to give money, folks. That's not what it's about today, amen? Because your money is maybe a part of you, amen? But it's not you. God's looking at the heart. And he's looking at not just the money. He's looking at your body as being an offering back to God, as a reasonable service based upon all he's done. For me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Amen. My purpose for life, for being here, is to be God's expression in the earth. That's your purpose too. We've been separated. We've been called, set apart for him, that we might be his own special people. That people will look at your life and say, they're not perfect people, but boy, they're different people. They're a peculiar people. But they don't dance to the same flute everybody else is. And yet there's a peace about them. There's a joy. They seem to have this joy that, boy, I wonder where they got that from. You know, people need to look at our lives and say, there's something different about you guys. You're not like those, well, let me just say this. The Christians are great. Amen. True Christians are great. It's them church folks. It's them church folks. You know, there's a difference between a Christian and church folk. Remember Saturday Night Live, the church lady? I have to confess, I'd watched it at least once. That was back in the day. Well, the church lady was this self-righteous, pious, you know, had no love, but she was just comparing herself to everybody else and thought she was so much better and superior to everybody else. That's a religious spirit, you know. That's what I'm talking about, the church folks, you know. But Christians, followers of Jesus, there's something sweet about them. There's a sweet fragrance, there's life, there's love. There's joy, there's peace, there's goodness, there's gentleness, there's faithfulness. They have self-control. They're able to say no to stuff that most people couldn't say no to. They can turn down a bribe. You know, they actually pay their taxes. They're actually the same in private as they are in public. Those are the true Christians. We all know what the hypocrites are like. Amen? On Wednesday night, one of our members here, we had an intense prayer meeting, and they received a vision from the Lord. And the question was, Lord, where is everybody at? And this is not to judge you if you weren't here, but I want you to hear it anyways. He said, when the Lord took him in the spirit and showed him the foyer, basically just brought him into the floor and showed him people coming through the door. And as they came in the door, he said that they reached over and grabbed a garment off the coat rack and put it on. And then they came in, sat down. And then very quickly, like the meeting was over, and as they went out, they took that garment back off, hung it up on the coat rack, and left the building. Folks, that's exactly what is happening in too many cases. Is that we put on our Christian face, our Christian cloak. We act all this because we're, you know, in church and we're doing the church thing. But how many of us are carrying this glory with us and going and bearing fruit out in the world and wherever we live, understanding that we are dispensers of God's glory? We are called, amen, to be blessed so that we could be a blessing in the earth, so that people will know what God is really like. And if we don't continue with the Lord, if we just depend on a church service, which we should be involved in, amen, as often as possible, just like my brother Philip was talking about how it helps him so much when he can as often as possible be with his brothers and sisters and fellowship and in different ways, just connecting with the body of Christ. You know, it doesn't always have to be at church, but that's a part of it. But when we get out into the world, we're entering in the mission field, and God is looking for people who are going to be loyal to him. His eyes roam to and fro throughout the earth, looking for him whose heart is loyal to him. And I want to be that one. I don't want to be a church player. I don't want to be a hypocrite who I act a certain way around these people, and then I'm a chameleon when I'm around them people. I act like them. Change your colors, you know. Well, I'm with this group now. I'm like that. And I'm now with my church group. I'm like that. That's hypocrisy. That is what's called living a lie. God wants you to be changed. And you're only going to be changed in his presence. because you pursue, you seek Him, and you come in and with all the baggage and all the hypocrisy and all the fake stuff. And we may fool people, but we don't fool God. You know what? We got to get that garbage and we got to lay it down at the altar and say, God, I'm tired of playing church and having to live this fake life because I don't want people to judge me because they see how I really am. I don't want to be who I was. Amen. I want to be changed. I want to be transformed. I want to be like Jesus. And so we can only do that as we look into the Word of God. Amen. And the Word of God begins to change our perception and our minds become renewed. And then our minds begin to come into agreement with the Spirit of God within us. And we become holy, integrated, body, soul, and spirit. Amen. What I think, what I say, what I do is always in harmony. It's in agreement. I'm not thinking one thing and saying another thing. Amen. Or saying one thing and doing something different. God is holy. Everything He says and He thinks and He does is always in agreement. And He's called us to be holy. No more playing church. No more acting out the part. That's what I like about this church. And what I like being with you guys is that we understand that. Amen. That you can be yourself here. You don't have to be fake here. We're not here to compare ourselves with people that walk through the door. We say, God, thank you for what you did in my life. You know what I'm saying? I know where I was at. And I know what God has done in my life. And I want people to experience that. I want people to know that too. I want people to be blessed like God has blessed me. And I can be that blessing. I can be that conduit, that vessel that God will use. When we go out and then you feed people on the street with a crazy faith, you're just loving people, you're expressing God's heart towards them. You don't have to preach at them, your life is preaching to them. And often their hearts will be open, they'll want to know what you have to say. Why are you guys doing this? Who does this? You know, because most of the time, let's face it, in the world, people do nice things because they have an agenda. You know, they're trying to take advantage of you or maybe just a personal selfish agenda. I'm just doing it for me. I'm not doing it for you. But God's heart is I'm doing it because I love you. Whether you can pay me back or not doesn't matter. I love you and I want to bless you. That's God's heart. We can't ever pay Jesus back. But you know what? We can try. That's what worship is. It's loving God back. How can I love God back with my life? I offer my body to Him. That's what I can do. Lord, it's no longer for me. It's no longer what I want. It's what you want. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you one example here. You know, when a cop wears a uniform and a gun, just because somebody wears a uniform and carries a gun and has a badge doesn't make them a police officer. You know, because an impersonator or an imposter can do that. You know what I'm talking about? There's people that will dress up like police officers and take advantage of people. They're impersonators. They're imposters. They're fakes. They're hypocrites. So just because someone's wearing a police uniform with a badge and carries a gun doesn't make them a police officer. They have to first become a police officer. And then that badge carries authority. Amen? Then that uniform fits who they really are. And sometimes, folks, let's face it, we can be good at putting on the outfit that we want people to see. And the mask or the facade, it's called posing. You know, we pose. Men are really good at this because we don't want people to know what's really going on. We've got to act like we've got it always together, you know. An image to keep up, yeah. How freeing it is to just become a Christian, become like Christ, and just be who you are in Christ. Authentic living. Free from the opinions of people and the judgments of men. God, He judges me. You know? And my responsibility is to live a life before you that is above reproach. Because if I'm indulging in things that God disapproves of, as an ambassador, I'm misrepresenting Him now. And I'm giving you an opportunity to point a finger at God and say, huh, I see what you're like. Because I see what your kids are like. How many of us have been embarrassed by our kids? How many of us have embarrassed our parents? Now, don't raise that hand. Because you represent your family name. So likewise, we represent our Father in heaven. We are ambassadors. I don't do anything. I don't allow things in my life. Even if it's a liberty. If it's going to in any way give the wrong impression or cause someone to stumble or bring reproach upon the Lord. Amen. Because we want to glorify the Lord. Amen. We don't want to be stingy. We don't want to be selfish. We don't want to be leeches either. We want to be lovers. We want to be givers. We want to be people who bless and don't curse. And they will see that you are truly a follower of Jesus. Because some people, do you know, they've read about Jesus. They've studied the life of Jesus. And then when they look around, they're saying, well, where are the true people that are like that? That's our goal, is to be like Jesus. Not just act like Jesus, but to become like Jesus.